The Tao of Self-Confidence, Episode 32.
Welcome to the Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of successful women finding their inner journey to self-confidence 5 days a week. Subscribe to our newsletter by visiting thetaoofselfconfidence.com.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to the Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host, Sheena Yap Chan. And today I have a special guest. She is from Los Angeles, California. She is an intuitive healer and a life coach. And she's here to share her story about her journey to self-confidence. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Wilma Wong. Wilma, how are you doing today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit with the listeners about yourself.
Thank you, Sheena, for having me on your podcast. A little bit about myself. I had many careers. I've worked as a gymnastics coach, coaching internationally in Taiwan with American, Chinese, Japanese gymnasts. I was also in the entertainment industry and worked in talent agency from casting to production. And ultimately, my career was worked in the camera department, working as a camera assistant on television shows such as Charmed in the early days with like ER and Friends, and then feature film like Pleasantville. And then I had my kids and life changed. When I was working on Pleasantville, there was a moment in which it was my fifth day of work and the camera assistant fell asleep driving at the wheel. And it was a long day of work. We were there for 22 hours with no sleep and he fell asleep. And it was a hard time. And I got pregnant on that show, and what it showed me was the preciousness of life. And I remember saying goodbye to him and being very impressed by his children and by him and wanting to know more about him. And what happened after he died, and then I got pregnant on that movie, was that it gave me a perspective on life and where we want to go and what are the priorities of what it is to be human and where we want to go with that. And so I transitioned out of being in the entertainment industry and moved into healing. And from there, I am interested in getting people to heal themselves. And my background is my parents are originally from China, and I'm a first generation born in the United States. My mom is actually a doctor. My dad is an engineer. My uncle's a doctor. My grandmother's a doctor. So we have a lot of healing in the family. And she, my mom and my grandmother, obviously being a stereotypical Asian, wanted me to be a doctor. And it was a time in which I started in that pathway, but merged into the entertainment industry, and now I'm back into healing, but not in the normal way of allopathic medicine, but in alternative ways of getting people to be self-confident about healing themselves.
That's awesome. Being in an Asian family, we're always told to do certain things, and you know, sometimes it's a little bit frustrating because we want to do something else, and then it's just like a battle sometimes, right? So I'm glad you were able to, you know, get out of that and do the thing that you really love to do, which is healing the natural way. And that story with the driver, that's pretty crazy, right? I mean, it just shows that life is short. You know, do what you love, go out there and just live life to the fullest. So Wilma, what's your favorite self-confidence quote?
I have a quote by John DeMartini, and he was in the movie The Secret, and he's an interesting guy. And his quote is, "Our areas of confidence are those most aligned to our highest values." And he talks about values all the time and what it is that we value in our life, what we surround ourselves with, what we do with our time, who we hang around with, what kind of objects are in our life. That's what we have as our highest values. And sometimes we trick ourselves into thinking just exactly what you were talking about. Like people prescribe something for us to do. And we may become self-confident in it because we can physically do them or mentally do it. But where we want to, our heart sings to us, where we really want to spend most of our time, that's really where our self-confidence lies.
Awesome. That's a great quote. And it's true, you know, like who you surround yourself with, you know, who the books you read, the audios you listen to, that all creates that high value that you want to attract. So in your own words, what's your definition of self-confidence?
I like to think of self-confidence as your inner knowing of your values, your mission, and your self-worth. And I know that it's a little bit, it's hard for a lot of people to know what their values are, what's their mission in life, and what's their self-worth. But once you do know that, there's like a smile. There's this inner knowing of who you are, and nothing's going to take you off your path. Whether you have challenges or you're being supported, you know where you're going. And that's the self-confidence that most people, if they really thought about it, is where they have it with their values and their mission.
I love that. And it's true. Sometimes I guess people are asking the wrong questions to themselves, right? I mean, if they start asking, you know, what is their mission in life? What is their purpose in life? You know, what am I powerful at? I mean, that's when the right answers start to appear, because I think they're all inside of us. We're just asking the wrong questions sometimes. So I really love that definition. And Wilma, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
You know, self-confidence is an ebb and flow. I don't think we have it all the time. I like that your podcast is called the Tao of Self-Confidence. So in the Taoist tradition, there's a symbol of the yin yang. And I mean, most people know about it, right? The bottom of the symbol is a point of white drawing like a backwards comma, and then it morphs into this black upside down comma. And it's a great symbol because we're not always self-confident. There are times when we have it and when we don't, and it depends, and it's an ebb and flow. But it's underlying there, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it's in the same position that it was. So for example, you're self-confident in life, and then maybe a death happens. And how do you handle that? If you've never experienced it before, say a loved one dies, and there's all these things you have to do. There's the emotional part of it. There's the logistics of all the things that you have to do in terms of a funeral and paperwork. Now, if you've never done it before, how are you going to be self-confident? But there's also that, again, back to the inner knowing. If you know inside of yourself that you can handle any challenge that comes your way, then you're going to do it not necessarily with passion, but you'll know that you can handle any challenge that's coming and you will survive and thrive in the end. And so another example is like, for me, having been a gymnast, I'm confident in gymnastics, right? With gymnastics, you get this sense of a great proprioception, that you know where your body is in space and time. And with that skill, you can pretty much pick up any sport. And in the beginning, you may not be very good at it. But the inner knowing that with some effort and practice, you can gain mastery. And that's another part of self-confidence. It's doing things that you're not necessarily good at, but knowing, that inner knowing, that in the end, you will become confident.
Thanks for that. And it's true. Sometimes, you know, you just got to take action and just keep going until, you know, you get that desired result. I mean, I'm sure there was times in your life where maybe you weren't too confident in something. And then the moment you did it was when you realized you can do anything that you want. I'm not sure if there was anything, a time in your life when that happened.
Well, I've been really thinking about confidence, and there's no real defining aha moment. Like, you don't wake up one day and go, ta-da, I am self-confident. But I do remember as a child being very confident athletically. I grew up with 5 older boy cousins, and they liked to teach me all of their sports. So I excelled at baseball, football, basketball, tennis, whatever they threw at me, I was going to do it. And I did it really quite well. But eventually I chose gymnastics, and that, again, gives you mastery over your body. So if you tell me to move my finger an inch, I can literally move and make that adjustment. And that kind of mastery translates to other sports, and it also translates to mastery in other areas of your life as well. Because if you know you can do it physically, then you're like, oh, okay, well, I can translate whatever I can do physically with that skill that I learned there and translate it into the growth mindset of learning, let's just say, how to cook, or learning how to podcast, or learning how to heal. Those same skills that you learn, such as learning how to walk. You look at kids who are walking. When they're first learning how to walk, they can't do it very well, and yet they keep getting up and doing it. And after a while, they just start walking, and nobody questions them. They know how to walk. It's when we lose our skill of walking, say if you were in an accident or something, and you've got to relearn that. And the confidence, it's has to be relearned, and you'll find a way. But if you know that you had that skill in the beginning, it's that self-confidence of coming back to it. And again, it's that inner knowing that with effort, you can master the skill again.
Thanks for sharing that. And I believe, you know, anyone can master a skill if they're, you know, if they really want it, if they're willing to do it. You know, I always believe action trumps, you know, whoever has the most talent, whoever has the most skill, because if you have this talent and skill, it's great. But if you're not taking action on it, then you're not really doing anything. So, you know, to the listeners out there, if there's something you want to learn, just go out there and learn it, right? I mean, I remember when I first started running, right? I was pitiful. Probably did like one lap, and it was like less than a kilometer. So that's like less than a mile. And I was huffing and puffing. But the more I kept on doing it, you know, the better I got. And now I can start running for like an hour straight. So, you know, you have to realize a master was once a disaster. So, you know, because so many, you know, especially women, right? It's like, oh my God, if we make the mistake, it's the end of the world. It's not, right? You make a mistake, then just keep going. So thank you for that, Wilma. And what's your life like right now?
In terms of self-confidence?
You know, you after realizing like anything you could master, you know, you had the confidence that you can master anything because you decided once you mastered gymnastics, you can transfer in any areas of your life.
I just want to actually go back to sort of what you're talking about in being able to, like running and so forth, and being able to, especially for women, I think what happens with women and self-confidence is I think we're under a lot of pressure, more than men in some ways, because when you get a family, there's a kind of, I don't know if you know, do you know who Brené Brown is?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Brené Brown has this great TED Talk, and I highly recommend that you go and watch it, called The Power of Vulnerability. And she talks about women, and there was a commercial back, I don't know, like in the 80s or something. And it was a commercial for this perfume called Anjali. And it was this woman, she looked powerful. She was in her power suit and she looked like she was dressed for the office. And she was putting wash and the line went, I can put wash in the line, pack the lunches, hand out the kisses and be at work from 9 to 5. I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan and never let you forget you're a man. And what it really created was this superwoman kind of mentality. And on your podcast, actually, your podcast logo has this image of this woman who's got a cape behind her. And I think that's really interesting because I think a lot of us have this sort of pressure to be a superwoman and where we can do everything. And what she said is that for women, shame is to do it all, to do it perfectly, and never let them see you sweat. And because of that, I mean, I even talk to people at, let's just say, like the president of the PTA, and she said to me, she said, I don't want to make it look like it's hard. And I thought, okay. So she was struggling, and she didn't want to make it look like it was hard. And so at what line is it authentic self-confidence versus this false self-confidence? What are we really projecting out there? And knowing, let's say, like, what is the difference? And I think what the difference really is when you know you can handle and weather the inevitable challenges of life versus sort of projecting this air of false self-confidence where you're pretending to do everything well and you're making it look really easy. But on the inside, you feel like you're failing. And I've met enough people at this point and coached enough people where the self-confidence is a facade for them. And they really are struggling with what it is that they're all about. And again, I know we talked about this earlier about who prescribed this for us. Are we living our parents' dream? Are we doing it ourselves? And what it is that we are, Brené Brown said that She doesn't know how much perfume that ad sold, but she said it probably moved a lot of antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. This idea that we are superhuman, and I think what we're seeing today is this pressure to be superhuman, not even just superwoman. If you look at a lot of the TV shows that are out right now, like Marvel has a lot of shows out with The Flash or comic book like Batman in the movies, you have Spider-Man, and these people have superhuman powers. And there's a yearning inside many of us. I personally like superhuman people. I like superhuman powers. And I think where we forget is that these all superhuman people all have their flaws. And that's our vulnerability. And even they can't be perfect and they can't do everything well. Batman's brooding, the Arrow can't be in a relationship. Everybody's got some sort of vulnerability part. And when we pretend that we're self-confident all the time, then we're not really being authentic in that. And it hurts us. I have a friend who is a psychologist at a major university. She says on one of the sports teams, half of the women are on antidepressants and the other half probably need to be, which is kind of an indictment on this. I mean, these women are at the top of their game and yet they're taking antidepressants because the pressure to be self-confident in probably academics, in the image of being a great athlete and whatever other part of their lives they have to be, this overly self-confident person is hurting them internally, mentally, physically, socially, spiritually. And I think it's a fascinating subject, I think, that really needs to be addressed.
Wow, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, I'd have to check that video out. I mean, you know, the artwork that I have on the cover for me wasn't really to pressure women to be superwomen. It's just for me was to inspire them that there is a superwoman inside them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everyone has their own perception of it. But it's true. Sometimes we're pressured to do so many things, right? We have to be like the woman with many tricks under the hat, and it's impossible, you know, especially in like Asian cultures, we're told to go to school, be the good wife, be the good daughter, be the good granddaughter, you know, you have to put so many faces up to the point where you get so frustrated as to what are you supposed to do? And, you know, in the end, you lose yourself in the process. You lose your own identity. You're not sure who you are anymore. Thanks for sharing that. So, you know,
don't get me wrong. I love your cover. I think that, I mean, cause I have superwoman fantasies myself. I realized like what is that yearning inside of us? I think that because so much of we are, that the thing of it is we are in one or two aspects of our lives. We are amazingly superhuman and superwoman-like. That's the thing. And where we fall apart is that I think sometimes there's this expectation that we are superhuman in all areas of life. And that's the part that I'm like, okay, so let's get this straight. If you're spending, all your time on your career, then of course your family's going to suffer. Or if you spend all your time on your family, then maybe your finances suffer. Like it's finding the balance. I mean, and you might be the most, Gina, you might be the most superhuman marketer or podcaster around, and you spend, say, you know, 15 hours a day doing your work. It's impossible to have your physical and your mental and your spiritual and your social and your family, your career and your financial life all working at this career life balance thing. I think we strive for it, but I think the pressure to have it all is a little bit underlying all of that. But finding the balance, that's where we're all going for.
For sure. You know, having the balance is key. And I trust me, I'm no super podcaster. I mean, I just do this because I love sharing stories with women, inspiring them to do something great. And it doesn't have to be, you know, five different things. It can just be one thing, right? Maybe you're good at singing, you know, find a way to, you know, use your skills and share it with the world, right? I'm not saying, you know, you need to be the mother, the daughter, the superhuman, the, you know, you just need one or two things, you know, that you're confident in, and just use that, you know, to live your life how you want it to be. So thank you for that. And, you know, if the listeners wanted to get to know you a little bit more, maybe want your coaching services, where can we contact you at?
I'm at wilmawong.com, and most of my work is done over the telephone. I don't do anything live, in person. And so I have clients all over the world, and we do everything by phone.
Awesome. So to the listeners out there, if you want any coaching services from Wilma, just head over to thetaoofselfconfidence.com and search for Wilma's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I really want to thank Wilma for sharing her journey, sharing her story, and sharing her viewpoints, you know, especially today. It's a wake-up call, right? You know, as women, we're always told to be 10 million things at once. And, you know, this is something that I think every woman must know, that you don't have to be 10 million things at one time, right? Because it's just impossible. It's just like you're trying to be perfect, and there's no such thing as perfection. So Wilma, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
No problem. You're welcome back anytime. So tune in to another new episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence, and I will catch you later. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Check out our resources to help you jumpstart your inner journey to self-confidence by visiting thetaoofselfconfidence.com.